Hello and welcome, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. You're here just in time for The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Thanks for joining the resistance, and remember, the revolution will not be televised. However, it will be podcast. Bon, bon, bon. On today's show, Gene Hackman and the update that will leave you feeling unsatisfied. Astronauts stuck in space? Well, not really, and the boys tell you why. And a stock market update. Did you vote for Trump because you wanted your 401k to make you rich? Well, you're stupid and poor. Sorry, loser. All this and so much more on today's episode of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Now get your glove on and get ready to catch some serious shit. Take it away, boys.
Get your glove on. And welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Back at it. Another podcast forthcoming for you.
Yeah. And as always, you pick good intro music. This does make me want to rage against the machine. And this is a good part of what we're really doing on the show now, isn't it?
Exactly, dude. We are the establishment taking on the establishment.
Are we the establishment? I don't think so. We're not like Howard Stern or Joe Rogan.
I think we're well established. Come on, dude. We've been doing this for a long time. And hey, the podcast, we've said it before, it's starting to grow like a boner. Yeah, we're not Howard Stern. I'm not an idiot. But yeah, we've established some listeners, and we thank you for being here.
I feel like we're the modern version of that one movie.
You know. Talk Hard, a little Pump Up the Volume.
Yes. How did you freaking know what I was talking about?
Does, dude. Yes, we are. Our brains are simpatico.
Yes, they are. So there you go. Find us online, thevocalminority.net, and find the social medias. That really is the, guerrilla radio of the modern age, where everyone gets a platform, and a lot of you like to comment on ours.
Yeah, it seems so. You can also use your telephone as a microphone and get vocal. We have a telephone line, 844-48-VOCAL. Leave a comment on the show. We're not like other shows. Like, if you make a bad comment, yes, we're going to play it. We don't care, dude. So let us know your true feelings.
Right, and we respond to 99.9% of the comments. Find us on YouTube, Reddit, TikTok, the Facebook thing, and Blue Sky. Funny little story about Blue Sky. As you're well aware, I've been kind of stretching myself thin of late, and I have been posting consistently for us on TikTok, on Reddit, and on YouTube, because those are the ones we get the most views on. I finally just posted something on Facebook just to keep the page active, but no one's on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
But Blue Sky is interesting, because we do have a good little following going, but it's the only social media site that does not show video views. I can't track the analytics. I'd have no idea if 1 or 1 million people are watching videos.
That's interesting, dude. There's no back door to find that out, huh? That's weird.
No. And Twitter, when it first started, didn't do it either, and eventually it did offer it. So a lot of people like us are hoping that they add that option at some point. But because they don't, it has fallen down on my priority list of posting. And I will admit, I have gone a month now without posting on it. I signed on the other day, and there's a message on there from someone who must like us saying, gentlemen, it's now been 28 days since you posted. Like, what's going on?
That's nice to know. See, that's exactly it right there. A grassroots show like this, we are looking for a little ROI. We just look for that return on investment. And if no one's watching our videos, why take the time to do it?
Right. So I have posted several now on Blue Sky, and I did thank the guy for staying on our case politely. It felt a little girlfriendy, like, both yeah. I love you and what's your problem? Where you been? Sort of thing. So
I get it. I like it, though, dude. I mean, he's craving our thoughts, our attention. So I'm okay with that right now.
I'll do better. Okay, people?
Yeah, don't call. Give us a little slack here, okay? Please. Steve is doing his best. And you are, dude. You are really wearing yourself thin right now with all your endeavors.
They're all very similar, too, but I'm having fun with it. But, yeah, there's only so many hours in the day. So,
yeah.
Before we get into the real headline need-to-know news, let's do our quick rundown of your teases there. The stuck-in-space thing, if this is about Mark Kelly and Elon Musk, I have the full article I'll get to. Is that what that is about?
I got a full news story on it, too, so we'll save that one.
We'll get there. Yeah. The Gene Hackman thing. What in the holy hell? What is your take on this?
Well, if you listened to last week's podcast, you know that I thought, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened here. And I still am not unsure that that's not true. This is the problem that I feel anyway. I'm seeing different theories all over the place and haven't even with the authorities nailed down anything and solidified it for me.
There's theories of what happened during that mystery week, but we now know that his wife died first of the Hantavirus.
Yeah.
Something you get from mice and rodents, and which is why you don't want to capture them alive, by the way. You just want to kill them, okay?
It's mainly from their poo, dude. So, like, if they poo and you sweep that up, like that dust gets into you, that's where you're supposed to vacuum up. If you find mouse poo, you should vacuum it up.
Good advice. So, yeah, his wife died on February 11th. Gene Hackman stayed alive for another week and then died of, they're saying, a combination of heart disease and advanced Alzheimer's. And then the dog probably died of starvation because both of the adults had died. So the gray area here is, what the hell was Gene Hackman doing for the week while his wife was lying dead on the floor? It had to be Alzheimer's related that he wasn't calling 911 or something.
Well, okay, so here's what's reported. He didn't call 911 because it said he didn't have a cell phone, okay? That he didn't like technology, never wanted to get a cell phone. So I don't know if that means his wife had one and he didn't know how to use it, or they didn't have a landline. Like, if he had no way to contact authorities if something happened, that's crazy.
Other than walking outside and knocking on the neighbor's door or getting in your vehicle and driving somewhere, the woman was dead in the house for a week while he was in there. Like, what in the world was going on? And no one's claiming he killed her, by the way. Like, but she's, no, they're dead for a week.
Well, and that's the other thing that you have to wonder about. So they did say that he had advanced Alzheimer's, but on that same token, like, neighbors and people in the community said, we saw him at the convenience store. We saw him at local restaurants. Like, he carried on a conversation. Like, he seemed mostly mentally there. And if he was driving, I mean, he didn't have Alzheimer's so bad that he would look at his dead wife for a week.
Well, what would the other explanation be? Just a long to-do list and get around?
I don't know, dude. That's why I'm saying nothing is solidified for me at this point.
Yeah, well, it's a weird freaking story. I mean, we know the cause of death. So, yeah, everyone's wondering what in the world was going on that week. And I don't know that we'll ever have an answer, but it's a semi-conclusion to a very bizarre story right there.
Yes. Yeah. You never think it's going to end that way. The other thing that we kind of teased in that intro was the stock market. We can get a quick mortgage update from Donald Trump Jr.
The high interest rates combating the inflation has made home ownership almost impossible for many Americans.
Right.
The price of a hair curler, you know, maybe has come down a little bit, or at least the inflation on it has come down a bit.
So hair curlers are down.
Right. What's the price of cocaine there, Donald Trump Jr.? Because you clearly have a firsthand knowledge of that.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be affected by market prices. Stock market's taking a big shit. I have a news story about this, too. So we can get into greater detail further along in the show. Sure. But what the frick, folks, with this stock market? I mean, this is what everybody voted for, right?
Apparently, this is what happens when billionaires want to make us all hurt a little, because they're not hurting. Trump has some weird, he claims, Machiavellian long-term plan that if I force all of these changes, yeah, we're going to have a little recession, inflation, but eventually everything will move back to America, everything will correct. The problem is there is zero chance that will happen within the next 2 years at a minimum. Something like that would actually take years to unfold, to radically reshape our entire economy. So he has set himself up to fail. And
people are saying 6 years, dude. People are saying 6 years.
Yes. So, and Elon Musk even said before the election that you can't just start tariffing people right away because they can't possibly build new factories and change distribute. Like, it's impossible. So yeah. He either doesn't truly realize how much damage he's doing, or he doesn't care that his entire presidency will apparently be tainted by this. So he's not running for re-election, so he's screwing whoever he's going to try to hand the reins to.
We'll get into more info on that, dude. One thing I can tell you is people like my brother, before he voted for Trump, said, I just want my 401k to be back where it was pre-Biden. And like, well, that didn't work out so well. I keep seeing these Trumpers post like, promises made, promises kept. But not about this bad shit, dude. He promised this. You just didn't listen to him.
No, and someone like your brother, who is semi-close to retirement age, your 401k is not going to have time to recover. Somebody with in their 20s that has a 401k, yeah, it'll bounce back by retirement. But, boy, yeah. You're approaching retirement and gambling with, you know, economic roulette like this.
It's freaking scary, dude. Yeah. All right, we'll get into some news. Welcome, one. Welcome all to the podcast.
Need to know news. News you need to know.
Steve Harness.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. All right, let's start off with this space story because I find it hilarious. Elon Musk, who, of course, is nowadays a U.S. citizen but was born in South Africa, was an illegal immigrant for many years there. He called Senator Mark Kelly, who is an American hero, military vet, a frickin' astronaut. Elon Musk called Senator Mark Kelly a traitor today on recording day for visiting Ukraine.
Ooh. Unbelievable, dude. Unbelievable that he would call him a traitor for visiting Ukraine. Something you should do before you talk about it. Something J.D. Vance should do before he talks about it.
Yeah, and this is not the first time these two have butted heads. A whole thing came up about the International Space Station like a month ago, and Kelly challenged Musk, like, I've been to space. I've been in the International Space. Come along with me. I know the way.
You know, right.
Put your money where your mouth is. But, yeah, this new one, tech billionaire Elon Musk accused Senator Mark Kelly of betraying his country after the Arizona Democrat went to the Ukraine over the weekend for his third trip, by the way. And he urged America to stand with the Ukrainians against the Russian aggression. So Musk, on his global platform that he's got the most followers on, tweeted today that you are a traitor. And Mark Kelly responding, I've sworn an oath to this country, wink, wink, because Musk never has.
Right.
He says, I've flown in combat. I served in the Navy for 25 years. It appears to me the oath that Elon Musk stands by is the oath to billionaires to make life easier, not for the American people and certainly not for veterans. He's not a serious guy. He should go back to building rockets. Although if he's not a serious guy, maybe don't build rockets.
Right. But there's not really, if you think about it, there's not one thing that he's wrong about in that statement. Like, no. Yeah, everything that he said, dude, you haven't done shit, Elon Musk, like to serve your country. If you think for a second that the richest man in our country, for sure, but the world probably, is, you know, donating his time because he cares so much about this great country to cut waste and fraud and abuse out of our government. You are insane, dude, if you think that.
I did see a poll recently saying that, surprisingly, on one level, I think it was 54% of Americans are in favor of what he's doing with Doge right now. But I will argue they are answering that question based on the general theory that shouldn't we be eliminating government waste? I don't think everyone has seen the repercussions quite yet. But the more vets that are losing jobs, the more grants that are going away, and if Social Security and Medicaid really get screwed with, that number will plummet.
Well, Medicaid is for sure getting screwed with today. After all reports I read today, Medicaid is definitely on the block. Yep. They're still moving forward with the Department of Education. And the really effed up deal is that all of the stuff that he's looking into, they have made changes, rolled them back because they saw the error in their ways, and then made changes once again. And this is such a teeter-totter that it is even more dangerous than it would be if he just, you know, withdrew it all.
Yeah. No, they're causing a lot of issues that wouldn't have happened if they just slowed themselves down a little. But they're so fired up to get the headlines that, like we've said before, they're trying to just throw the baby out with the bathwater. They're taking a blowtorch instead of a scalpel and just like surgically cutting waste. And yeah, it's backfiring. There's been grants and money cut off that judges are reinstating. There have been people fired that they're now trying to rehire. They fired the people that man our nuclear arsenal and then begged them all to come back. Like, oops, didn't mean to fire you guys.
Right. Listen, dude, hey, don't you ever wonder, like, I'm not an idiot. I do think that there is obviously waste, fraud, and abuse in our government. But the fact that no one has ever gone in and just trimmed the fat in 2 weeks' time or 3 weeks' time should tell you something. It's because that's not how it's done. Could it be done faster than it's currently being done? Of course. But you can't mess around with stuff like this without really deep diving.
We're in the fuck around stage. The find out stage has not hit everyone, or that number would not be 54%. So stay tuned. I saw an article the other day about veterans, and I think it was Kentucky, that have all lost their jobs. And guess who they voted for and are pissed off about it.
It's unbelievable, dude. Well, you know, the farmers are all pissed off, too, because, well, a good portion of the farmers voted for Trump. I don't know if you saw that Trump is now putting a cry and a plea out to South African farmers who are being abused, that they can have a quick way to citizenship here in the United States if they want to come over here and farm with a family. So, more competition for farmers that are currently suffering now is on the way as well.
Is that part of this program you proposed where if you want to pay $5 million to immigrate to America, we'll let you in quickly?
So funny, dude. Yeah, that gold card. The gold card. You got your green card and you got your gold card.
Yes. That is classic discrimination by checkbook. Because there are certain things you can't discriminate on. Great example, in my community, there is a world-class golf course up at Lake Tahoe where the NBC Celebrity Tournament happens every year. I mean, it's right on the shores of Lake Tahoe. But it's Forest Service land that they have leased. So they are not allowed to be a private club. So they're technically a public golf course, but it's like $600 a round per person. So they discriminate by pricing you out.
Yeah. That's also the golf course that Trump fucked Stormy Daniels at. You know, that's where he met Stormy Daniels, too. So.
Spot on. You are correct. Nice job, Lake Tahoe. Although I would argue, honestly, I mean, that ended up being a good thing primarily, you know, for maybe not for poor Stormy, but, you know, it basically led to an impeachment and all sorts of criminal action. So, I don't know. Tahoe's proud of that.
Yeah.
The tournament is also where Ben Roethlisberger was accused of rape. So it's celebrities gone wild every now and then.
Yes, it does sound like it, dude. I'm going to have to get tickets to that bad boy.
Right. So there you go. Fun stuff. Elon Musk calling a true American hero a traitor.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Standing by. Standing by. Welcome to Need to Know News. Welcome to the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Hey, dude, our space stories are definitely different, so I'll just carry forward with more space talk. Sure. I don't know if you've heard anything about the astronauts that are apparently stuck up in space. Have you heard anything about it?
Lost in space. Danger, Will Robinson. Yeah, I mean, I know we have people on the International Space Station that for a variety of logistical reasons have been left there longer than planned.
That is correct. They were supposed to be there, apparently, for 8 days. This story is a little nuanced. When they say they're supposed to be there for 8 days, they had a backup plan, because I don't know if you can understand this, but things in space change. Like, you know, you don't know what to expect once you get there of how things go. But the initial deadline was, we'll be up here for 8 days. But that didn't work out. As of late, both Elon Musk and Donald Trump have been turning this into another political issue that is Biden's fault. I'll give you a little information on what's happening and what Trump and Elon Musk are both talking about with these astronauts supposedly stuck in space.
At the president's request or instruction, we are accelerating the return of the astronauts, which was postponed kind of to a ridiculous degree.
They got left in space.
They've been there. They were supposed to be there 8 days. They're there almost 300.
Biden.
They were put. Yeah. Yes, they were left up there for political reasons, which is not good.
Okay, it's not good. You think this will be a successful mission?
Well, we don't want to be complacent, but we have brought astronauts back from the space station many times before, and always with success.
So, Elon Musk is going to pick up these astronauts, okay, in SpaceX, because, well, they were left there. Trump just now says Biden. Well, you know, Biden. I don't know if you heard him or not, but, like, he just blames shit on Biden and basically says Biden left these astronauts there that have been in space coming up on a year's time, but he says Biden left them in space for political reasons.
Yeah, and what would a political reason be to strand astronauts in space?
I haven't got that story, dude. I mean, he's the only one that's saying it. I mean, I guess that Elon Musk is talking about it as well. But they talked to Donald Trump about what he would say to those astronauts in space.
I'm sure that they will see this.
in space. What is your message?
No, we love you, and we're coming up to get you, and you shouldn't have been up there so long. We're going to get them out. We're coming up to get you. I hope they like each other, but maybe they'll love each other. I don't know. But they've been left up there. Think of it. And I see the woman with the wild hair, good solid head of hair she's got. There's no kidding. There's no games with her hair.
What the hell is he talking about?
He cannot help but comment on people's physical appearance. That is what that is about. You don't know their names. You're so worried about them that you don't have any idea. There's no notes in front of you, no nothing. And by the way, like, then go, Elon. Jump on one of your rockets. Apparently, you can just go into space anytime you want. It's not about weather, alignment of the Earth, none of that stuff. Just going up there. Why aren't they back already? Trump's been in office for 2 months now. Go pick him up and come on back, though.
Yeah, no, I mean, Elon Musk says he does this all the time, dude. They go up there like it's going to be a successful mission. To just show you how irresponsible the media has been with this story, someone that I've had more and more problems with, Joe Rogan, is constantly talking to people without fact-checking stuff and just perpetuating lies. He had Elon Musk on his podcast, and they spoke briefly about it.
So when is this rescue mission going to launch?
About a month away.
That'll be, I'm sure, a welcome moment for those poor people that are stuck up there.
Like I said, it's a bit of a political football, yeah. So they're not going to complain.
No, I'm sure they're going to be
football, but obviously we could have brought them back way sooner.
That's so fucked up.
Right? So
there's the theory that Biden called NASA and was like, hey guys, we're just going to leave them up there. Like, no one go get them.
Dude, yeah, I don't know what the theory is. And no one has really questioned this, but there are some news outlets that finally got a chance to talk to the astronauts themselves to see, is this all bullshit what they're saying, or is this true? Now, mind you, these astronauts have to be careful because they are relying on Musk and Trump to be picked up sometime. So they have to be a little bit careful. But they were asked, is this really, a Biden thing?
So this idea that you need to be rescued, that's not how you feel there.
No, I would say that's not how we feel. You know, since we've been here, we've had a way to get home if we really needed to in an emergency.
There's many ways to characterize it. Stranded, I don't think, is one of them because we're on the space station.
It was just days ago when Elon Musk, who owns the SpaceX ship that will bring them home, said the two astronauts were left in space by the Biden administration for political reasons. Is that the case?
Political reasons. I have not heard that. I'm not sure that that could be the case based on what I know. We came up here with a plan to test out the spacecraft and return. The plan changed. We also came up here with a backup plan, fully trained to do everything that you can do on the International Space Station, because in this business, nothing is a given.
What's your message to Americans who were watching these narratives unfold of you being stranded and stuck in space and they were so worried about you?
We're thankful for your support, and that's what Americans do. We lift each other up and keep each other going.
It doesn't sound like they're real stressed about being in space, does it?
No. Trump and Musk are making it sound like they're making a phone out of coconuts, like the three-hour tour for Gilligan's Island just went astray, and they've been left up there for a political reason that no one can even in the conspiracy theory come up with something that would even make any kind of sense.
I mean, one of the astronauts there said it himself, like, yeah, I don't know what a political reason to be, and I know all the information on this mission, so, yeah, I don't know.
We're here, and they're right not to disparage Trump, because he will leave them up there for political reasons. The main reason, just anything that affects his narcissism or anyone speaks out against him, he will punish you indefinitely. So, you know, Elon Musk, go ahead and jump on one of your rockets and get on up there. But, you know, your last two have blown up upon taking off, so right, well, I don't know. Maybe it's not so easy, huh?
Yeah, maybe be real careful. This is my plea to Trump supporters and people who voted for Donald Trump and maybe even now have changed their mind. It is bullshit like this. It is bullshit with his last speech at the Republican address that he had last week of how many people he brings out and uses as political pawns to get you excited. But if you really look into all of their stories that he's making comment on, it's much broader, and he's using people. These are another grouping of people that he's using to look like a hero, that he's saving Americans that Biden left in space. Yeah. Do a little research on all these political pawns, dude. It'll blow your frickin' mind.
See, but that's the problem right there. He knows that his base does not research and does not understand nuance. Otherwise, they wouldn't have blamed the economy on Biden or the gas prices or egg prices. Like, there's nuance behind all of that that requires a little diligence and reading. Ooh, boy. Like, you know.
That's yeah. No, you're right, dude. I hope, my hope is that as we see his approval rating fall so quickly, that there will be a grouping of people that were, I don't know, they voted for him for some odd reason, but actually have some intelligence that will go in and start looking into some of his bullshit, because it's out there everywhere. It's easy to find.
Yeah, his base will not, but as always, we hope the center, that, you know, wishy-washy group going down the middle here, hopefully they figure out eventually. And by the midterm elections in just shy of 2 years would be ideal, but time will tell.
Why do you care about the center so much, Steve? Why? God damn it.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know. Start the news chant, please.
Come on!
News, 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 news!
Thanks, Steve.
Oh, you're welcome. Hi. Hey, while I'm babbling real quick, can you find that clip, if you still have it, of what Elon Musk was saying about comedians?
Oh, yeah.
They should be canceled.
Yes, I got it.
The left wanted to make comedy illegal, you know? Yeah. Like, you can't make fun of anything. So then it was like, comedy sucks. It's like, nothing's funny. You can't make fun of anything. It's like, legalize comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glitch. So last week we played that clip again because he had flagged Bill Burr's account on Twitter for making fun of Elon. And now, just on this exact same topic, top Trump advisor Stephen Miller didn't find the funny in a joke about President Donald Trump on this weekend's Saturday Night Live.
Oh, boy.
Oh, did they hurt Donnie's feelings? The Trump White House Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy slammed the NBC sketch show as the, quote, Church of Woke. After Weekend Update did a joke, Michael Che, mocking Trump's claim that, quote, no president has changed government faster by cracking, yeah, and nobody changed airport security faster than bin Laden.
Wow. It's a good joke. Well written.
It is a good joke. It is clever. And it's a joke. I thought we weren't supposed to be canceling comedy in this country, right?
Yeah. Right. Cancel comedy. Wow. It just is shows again the hypocrisy, right?
Yes. They want comedy that reflects their views, not that hurt their little feelings. So Stefan Miller there said that Saturday Night Live has not been culturally relevant in 20 years, which is what Trump always says. Like, are they still in business? Did they go under? He went on to say, Saturday Night Live has not produced a meaningful talent since the 1990s. Saturday Night Live has been the place where comedy goes to die. The only good thing that has happened on Saturday Night Live in the last couple of decades were the times that Donald Trump hosted Saturday Night
Live. Oh my gosh, dude, you're in a cult!
Right, the hypocrisy. Don't cancel comedy unless it's insulting our king. And Saturday Night Live sucks unless King Trump is on it. Then it's awesome and relevant again. Like, you're such fucking hypocrites. And it's such a snowflake, whiny little girl thing to complain Saturday Night Live is making fun of us. This goes back to the thing we've talked about where they hate it when the cool kids make fun of them.
And you know what, dude? This just goes to show you that Shane Gillis was the host of Saturday Night Live last weekend. And I like Shane Gillis. I think that he does a good job at pointing out a lot of hypocrisy on both sides. But a lot of his comedy definitely leans right, and I didn't see anyone jumping out on the liberal side saying, like, what did he do? And that's not funny. You guys are in a cult. The best ones were when Donald Trump was on. That's not true. You know that's not true.
Right. So, yes, just another example of hypocrisy and, yeah, the cool kid complex when Saturday Night Live. And Trump has made assertions that these kind of comedians should be gone after for illegal campaign contributions to the Democrats by making fun of us. I mean, on no level do they have the self-awareness of what a whiny snowflake you look like when you complain about people making jokes that hurt your feelings.
100%. And this is a good time to address this, dude. Leon Musk hosted Saturday Night Live a few years ago. I don't know if you remember it or not.
Yeah, vaguely, but yes.
So after he hosts, like, people come out and they were like, gosh, his timing was really weird. His personality was really off. And people who had followed Leon Musk said, you know, oh, he's got some form of autism. He's on the autistic scale and maybe he has Asperger's. I don't know. Yeah. But my point is, people gave him a lot of slack because, well, they realized that maybe he thinks a little differently. So they understood it. I've been seeing comments creep up about even Joe Rogan on that same podcast with Leon Musk said, oh, you know, the left used to love you, Leon Musk, and now they can't stand you. Isn't it funny how quickly they turn? Yeah. When the left loved Leon Musk, it was at a time where he shut up. He was building rockets and he was investing in our future with electric vehicles. He was doing shit that we could applaud and sit on the sideline and be like, oh, he's doing some good things for the world. That's not the case anymore. We're not allowed to change our mind on somebody after we see disgusting behavior.
That is such an un-American thing to say, because you nailed it. Yes, liberals liked him when he was a scientific entrepreneur guy, electric vehicles, and like, yeah, when he started opening his dumb mouth on politics, he did lose our support, and we have every right to do so. That goes for everyone. When you're just doing your job, we can admire what your job is. When you then start spouting off, you open yourself up to that sort of political backlash, and it's why sales of Tesla are in the tank. And I honestly wonder if Tesla is going to survive the next few years. Because as we've said before, not only is he screwing over his employees, his investors, people investing in the stock, but he is screwing that company by alienating liberals, the only ones who want to buy electric vehicles.
Completely. And I mean, liberals are not sitting down for, you know, they don't love the Tesla so much that they're sitting down and putting up with it. There was a dealership in San Francisco. I don't know if you saw this, but they put a big sign up in their window that said, "We hate him too."
Yeah.
In the Tesla dealership. I think the European market is leading in canceling Tesla. I think they're at like 65% down since, you know, we've been on this mission to cancel Tesla. So
I don't doubt it. Have you seen all of these Cybertrucks getting graffitied in New York City?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's funny. Go on.
Listen, this goes back to the Colin Kaepernick thing. I said back when Kaepernick was taking the knee that you have every right to do that. You also, though, have the reality to deal with that you're going to alienate some people. Yeah. So if you're willing to suffer the consequences, you, of course, have the right to free speech, just like Elon Musk does. But he also has the right to suffer the consequences. And now he is. And Joe Rogan and whoever else cannot admonish us for putting our mouth or our money where our mouth is. You know,
Joe Rogan excuses the Heil Hitler salute, too. Like, I've seen you do that, throw your heart out to the crowd many a time. Like, dude, you are. Who bought you, Joe Rogan? What happened to you?
I think Elon Musk bought him. I mean, Rogan's doing quite well, but I feel like Elon Musk is on that. He's almost a co-host. I feel like he's on there constantly. So I'm not saying they're straight up butt buddies, but metaphorically speaking, they definitely are.
Yeah. No, he's sucking the peen for sure. And it's just irresponsible and bad reporting.
Need to know news. News you need to know.
Nick, I think you did an amazing job.
I haven't done anything yet, but I appreciate it. I always like to. I like it when people think I do good work, so that's nice. Hey,
just showing up, man. That's good work right there.
Just showing up. You've heard about the Trump administration wanting to take over different places. Gulf of America is what they're trying to call things. They want Greenland. They'll turn it into red, white, and blue land. And we've heard all the discussion on the Panama Canal. And it looks like things are starting to happen with the Panama Canal. All right. I'm going to play a little sound of what actually happened with the Panama Canal. Trump was speaking to a big crowd of people and had this to say.
My administration will be reclaiming the Panama Canal, and we've already started doing it. Just today, a large American company announced they are buying both ports around the Panama Canal, and lots of other things having to do with the Panama Canal and a couple of other canals. It was given away by the Carter administration for $1, but that agreement has been violated very severely. We didn't give it to China. We gave it to Panama, and we're taking it back.
All right. So you heard Trump mention in there that an American company had bought two canals in the Panama Canal, basically taking control of the Panama Canal, right?
Right. Or you said they bought ports. I didn't know the ports were for sale. And if they are, if China bought them, then isn't that just the free marketplace?
China didn't buy them. An American company bought them. Okay. Now, listen.
He's saying that over the years, China has bought up the Panama Canal and they took it over. So
they bought their way in. Yes. They're making things nice for Panama to be able to, be excused. Okay. But this is what I will tell you. It's important to know, first and foremost, that Panama has some say in whether or not they're selling ports in the Panama Canal, right? And if a deal is going to go through. There was a bid by an American company to buy up these canals in the Panama Canal, all right? It's odd that he didn't bring up who it was, though.
BlackRock just bought the Panama Canal. Did you know that? Did you hear about the largest private equity company in the entire world buying the most important shipping lane in the Western Hemisphere? BlackRock, the $1 trillion private equity company, the one with $11.5 trillion in assets, the ones who control so much of the world around us. When you dial down on all of these financial reports, they now own both ends of the Panama Canal. They bought the Atlantic port and they bought the Pacific port. So that way they can get us at both ends.
Okay. Do you know who BlackRock is, Stephen?
I do not, no.
BlackRock is the largest company in the world, basically. And they've got a lot of people think BlackRock is evil because they are trillionaires. I mean, with how much money they have, they could pretty much do anything they want. But they're a firm. Let me tell you the top 10 things. I'm going to run through these very quickly of what people worry about when it comes to BlackRock, okay? It can, first of all, like I was saying, it controls trillions in assets. How BlackRock became the world's largest asset manager. How many trillions do you think BlackRock controls? 1 trillion? How about 2? No, the fact of the matter is this article was written in 2022, and that as of that time, they controlled 10 trillion. It has gone to 12 trillion. So can you imagine, dude, in 3 years, they've made $3 more trillion? We can't even
imagine it all just steamrolls at some point. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so number 9, why have you never heard of BlackRock? Well, that is intentional. The BlackRock company basically owns the world. BlackRock is so big and they own so many media companies that it is planned this way. They don't want people talking about BlackRock, who they are, what they do, what they own, and how they're spending their money throughout the world.
Yeah, I assume we've heard of the companies they own, but that they make no public face for this BlackRock side of it.
Completely. Let me see here. Together, BlackRock and Vanguard have considerable shares in Graham Media Group, which owns Slate and Foreign Policies, and Foreign Policies. They also own between 10 and 18% of CNN, CBS, Fox, Disney, Comcast, Gannett, Sinclair, and the Sinclair Broadcast Group. They own a lot of media, so they are keeping a lot of what they do on the down low because a lot of it is controversial. They have been called the fourth arm of the U.S. government because they have so much money and so much sway.
Okay. Isn't this problem solved then?
How so?
Well, apparently some American megacorporation bought the Panama Canal, so now we got it back from China, and the almighty dollar owns the place, and so isn't that the end of that?
No, dude. BlackRock, I would say that BlackRock is more dangerous than China.
They're Disney. Come on, man. It's Mickey Mouse. It's the Panama Canal now. What could go wrong?
Listen, BlackRock is one of the only companies that doesn't look at issues with owning shares in competing businesses, dude. They can manipulate so much stuff because they own businesses with competing shares. That's not allowed, is it? It is for BlackRock.
I'm not a financial expert to comment on the details of that, but I'm just saying, I don't know if they're a trustworthy company, but... they're not China, so shouldn't Trump shut the hell up now?
Steve, yes. Trump is happy about this, okay? Oh. Trump likes this. Trump wants the money of BlackRock. Let me just move on to say that Trump loves this so much because BlackRock is a company that owns every pharmaceutical company, every one of them that is out there.
Okay. I'm not saying I'm like on board with this. I'm just saying if the story is true, BlackRock now owns both ends of the Panama Canal. I don't know if they own it. There has to be some long-term lease. I doubt they just bought the port outright, but that's semantics. So okay, though, but if BlackRock now owns both sides of the Panama Canal, China doesn't, like, can we leave Panama alone now? Can Trump stop talking about this? Or are we now invading BlackRock? So what? Mar-a-Lago can run the Panama Canal.
Listen, Trump is happy about this. Panama, not so happy about this. This is what I'll tell you what different people are saying right now. The U.S. President Donald Trump, in his joint address to Congress, said, to further enhance our national security, my administration will be reclaiming the Panama Canal, and we've already started doing it, implying his plans with BlackRock. Panama's president said, once again, President Trump is lying. The Panama Canal is not in the process of recovery. I reject on behalf of Panama and all Panamanians this new affront to the truth and to our dignity as a nation. It is not for sale. It is not going anywhere. So does this just build up what Trump said in the beginning? Like, yeah, we'll take it by force if we have to.
I don't know. This is getting in the weeds. This is where Americans will stop paying attention. Because as you explain this to me, I'm not entirely sure what's going on. I don't want Trump to be happy. When he's happy, that makes me nervous. So I'm sure there's something bad here. But I would rather a private company did what they can do as opposed to us invading Panama or violating our treaties with them or, you know, whatever historical precedent there is.
This is what you're not understanding. As BlackRock is a private company, it's not actually a private company, right? Because they have the wherewithal to buy whatever they want, whether that's political, whether that's to start a war. They can do whatever. BlackRock can do whatever they want. They're the toughest kid in the locker room.
Are they going to buy Greenland next? We can stop talking about that too then?
Who knows, dude? Who knows what's going to happen? My point is this is not a good thing. Trump likes that BlackRock has stepped up so they can throw their weight around monetarily. But if Panama is saying, no, we're not for sale, dude, we don't accept this, doesn't that indicate that a war is coming?
But
wouldn't you think?
Panama willingly sell these ports to BlackRock?
No, dude, they said no, we're not for sale. They did not sell. But BlackRock has stepped up and made the deal of this is what we will give you for these ports. The deal is not finalized.
Okay, I guess that's part of where I got lost. So okay. Then this is still up to Panama. If they don't want to sell it to BlackRock or to Exxon or whoever, then apparently they have that discretion. But if Panama chooses to sell it to whoever, then isn't that up to Panama?
It is up to Panama, you would think, but only until BlackRock, who is now involved and has all the money in the world, and Trump, who said, we will take it by force, is behind it as well. So even if Panama says no, don't you feel like we're in more danger now or closer to a war with Panama to take it by force if they're going to say no?
Yeah, I mean, it would be quite the story if we literally invaded Panama. I can see Trump putting economic sanctions on them to force their hand to sell to someone that Trump likes, like this BlackRock. But actually invading Panama, I mean, that would be quite a day in U.S. history. So, I don't know. But we are in the fuck around and find out stage, and Trump has not ruled it out. So I guess it's certainly not impossible.
Yes, indeed. Remember how we had such an issue with China and TikTok? Everyone was like, oh, they own it all, you know. The last things I'll tell you about BlackRock that should scare the shit out of you is no one regulates BlackRock. It operates outside the U.S. Like ByteDance, like TikTok does. And it's the reasons right now that Americans can't buy homes because, yeah, they do. They control all of those interest rates. They control who they're loaning money to. And it's the largest financial institution that will help you get a home in the world.
So they're manipulating markets, you're saying? I mean, they don't directly control any of that stuff, but they're using their muscle to push around these markets?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I don't know. This is the way we're heading. Amazon and Meta own most of the country already. I mean, and this is, you know, I say it somewhat jokingly, but this is where the entire world is headed. We're going to have this top tier of trillionaires that will essentially own everything.
Yeah, yeah. This is a scary. This is a scary time as we see us get the haves and the have-nots get further and further apart. You know, I mean, we're not going in a good direction.
No. Well, all right. Stay tuned. Let's see who ends up owning, quote unquote, the Panama Canal.
This is the only news you need to know. After all, this is Need to Know News. News you need to know. Nuff said.
All right. All right. I'm gonna point out this story because I like to keep things as sincere as we can, as far as pointing out things on the left and on the right, and things that may be kind of common sense. I mean, this whole issue of transgender athletes has been coming up for, I don't know, the last couple of years we've been doing this show.
Mm.
And, you know, we've seen conservatives all of a sudden now care about women's sports, and we've got Trump signing executive orders, trying to legislate, you know, transgender people out of existence, and certainly trying to throw them out of sports. So an unexpected voice has joined that chorus and has basically said, like, yeah, I do think it's an issue. And it's the It Man. It's the man who is probably going to be running for the Democratic nomination in a couple of years, Gavin Newsom of California.
Gavin Newsom thinks it's a problem?
Yeah. So, last week, California Governor Gavin Newsom, he said on his podcast, because everyone's got a fucking podcast apparently, that transgender girls and women participating in female sports leagues is, quote, deeply unfair. The comments made him the most prominent Democrat to buck the party and echo public opinion on the issue. The issue of fairness is completely legit, Newsom said on This Is Gavin Newsom last week. And we've got to own that. We've got to acknowledge it. So, what do you think? Is he trying to take away a playing card that was definitely used against Kamala, was at least part of why she lost? Or is he trying to ultimately say what we've been saying, that leave it up to the sports leagues? If any of the leagues say it's unfair, then okay, that's their decision, and I'll respect that.
Yeah. This is such a tough thing for me to talk about, dude, because with the knowledge that I have an opinion. But I don't think I have all the knowledge, you know? So it's kind of dangerous for me to talk about it. Like, I think that the transgender population is so small that I feel like part of my knowledge would have to come from talking to transgender people, you know? And I haven't done that.
We're trying to solve a problem that barely exists.
Yes. Yes.
I stand by what we've been saying, that there may be some sports where, yeah, it's unfair. And if that league says it's not okay, then I think transgendered athletes have to respect that. But there's all sorts of sport leagues where it wouldn't matter if your testosterone levels are the correct or body muscle mass is in a certain percentage. Like, let the sports leagues figure it out for themselves. But I did not hear Gavin Newsom in this thing call for an outright ban of any transgender athlete being in any sport. I think he's saying, yeah, it's a fair issue. It's something we should be talking about.
Yeah. I mean, look, what he said was reasonable, you know, and I think it is up to the sports league to figure it out. What I won't sit around for is people talking about this like it's a huge problem, and that, you know, athletes are being hurt, and, you know, this McNabb I can't think of her first name, Sheila McNabb. She's a high school or college sports, and she was playing volleyball, and there was a transgender girl playing on the other side of her and supposedly hit the ball so hard that it ended her athletic career, a very successful one, and gave her a concussion. And that's not true, dude. I mean, she did get hit in the head with a ball, but she's been playing softball and other sports successfully. Like, this is not as big of a problem as anyone makes it. Let the leagues figure it out.
Yeah, and that thing that Trump did in his little speech where he pointed out, yes, this woman got hit in the face and got a concussion, and But okay, is she trying to say that women's skulls are thinner or softer? Because apparently that Hulk Hogan of a transgender athlete, if he can hit the ball so hard, why wouldn't that have the exact same effect on a male athlete if they got hit in the face? Like, come on, that was a one in a million shot that hit her just right. His yes. implication is that this transgender athlete was some Arnold Schwarzenegger back in his prime that is just so muscular, he destroyed little girl on court. Like,
right.
come on. If he was somehow that powerful, or if she was somehow that powerful, you could apparently crush the head of any opposing athlete, but that's not what's going on.
Yeah, it's not a real problem. And I mean, if it becomes a problem, I'm glad Gavin Newsom is willing to talk about it on a common sense level. Like, yeah, we can have a conversation, but all the shit you guys are talking about and the big deal you're making about it is not real. I mean, you're making all of this up.
Remember the famous battle of the sexes in tennis where the female athlete defeated the male athlete, so wouldn't that mean it would be unfair to the male athletes to let a transgender male play in the tennis league? Because a woman beat a man before, so...
That's right, dude. There are so many ways we could look at this.
Right. Again, it has to be on a case-by-case basis. So, I appreciate Gavin trying to diffuse the issue a little, saying that there is legitimacy to, you know, to some of this. So, I don't know how far he's going to go with it, but, you know, a lot of libs are upset with him. A lot of the LGBT community expressed one major group said they were profoundly sickened and frustrated by Newsom's comments. So I'd be willing to bet he's going to clarify that a little further, probably in the direction we're talking about. But it's not an unfair discussion to have. But to just paint it with a blanket statement of transgendered female athletes are dangerous, they're causing concussions and destroying sports, like... There's just no evidence to support that in the real world, besides a one in a million example.
Yeah, and libs, I tell you what, don't jump down Gavin Newsom's throat so fast, because let's be lucky that we have somebody, an up-and-comer, especially into the presidential race is what I'm saying, that will sit down and have these conversations. It doesn't seem like, to me, Gavin Newsom is afraid to have any conversation and is pretty knowledgeable on most conversations. So I want somebody that can have these conversations in a respectful, thoughtful way. Come on, Democrats.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Welcome to the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Recording day, March 10th. I will tell you, some people are feeling the pain of daylight savings time and losing an hour as we see the time spring forward.
Yes.
How do you feel about daylight savings time? Are you a fan, Steven?
First of all, let me be a grammatical nerd and point out that it's daylight saving time. There's no S on it.
Daylight saving time?
Yes. It's not savings. That's a grammatical error that a lot of nerdy commentators like to point out.
Doesn't it save time in multiple days? So it's savings over the...
I'm not going to pretend to know the full reason why it's singular and not plural, but it is daylight saving time. Listen, I hate the flip-flop back and forth, but which side do you fall down on if we do get rid of it? Because I'm sitting in Nevada right now, and they're proposing that this fall, when we fall back, we stay there. I like spring ahead. I like it being light later in the day as opposed to earlier in the day. I can't ride my dirt bike at 5 a.m., but I can ride it at 8 p.m. So I would rather have a good chunk of the year where it's light later. But other people feel the opposite, where they want to get up at work and get the kids to school and light. So I think most of us agree we should stop flip-flopping, but it is majorly divided as to which flop do we stop flipping on.
That's right, Steve. President Trump came out right after he was put into office and said, like, yeah, I'll take care of this daylight saving time. And I will end it, okay? I'm just going to end it. Well, we're a few 7 weeks in or whatever now, and it has not been ended, and so we just had to spring forward. Reporters wanted to know, Trump, what's going on with daylight saving time?
When are you going to get rid of daylight savings?
Okay, are you ready? So, this should be the easiest one of all, but it's a 50-50 issue. And if something's a 50-50 issue, it's hard to get excited about it. I assume people would like to have more light later, but some people want to have more light earlier because they don't want to take their kids to school in the dark. And it's very much, it's a little bit one way, but it's very much a 50-50 issue. And it's something I can do, but a lot of people like it one way, a lot of people like it the other way. It's very even. And usually I find when that's the case, what else do we have to do?
What are you talking about, sir? Like, it's a little bit, it's sort of one way, but it's pretty even. It's pretty much even in sort of one way.
Well, I hate to point this out, but he and I just said the same thing, and I that's a rarity. But
yeah.
I mean, he's not very good at speaking the English language, but
right,
essentially is saying the same thing, yeah.
But that is that. What he just said, what you just said, is exactly why daylight saving time should not go away. We can all have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You make it sound like you losing an hour or you gaining an hour affects your life so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's an annoyance, and I don't know which way to go. And I don't think Trump realized before that there were two versions. I think he just thought we can just end the flip-flop and everyone will be happy. Now he's realizing there actually is some nuance to it.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, he usually says, like, well, I'll get it done so quick. We'll do it so quick. But, yeah, this has got him stumped. He doesn't know what to do. He's putting thought, actual thought, and feedback from voters into daylight saving time. But Medicaid, Medicare, no. We're not going to take any of those considerations into a subject like that.
No. You can see the smoke coming out of his ears. And so I just Googled it real quick. The correct term is daylight saving time, not daylight savings time.
Right.
Let's see. It is commonly referred to as daylight savings. The term daylight saving time is sometimes hyphenated. Daylight saving and daylight savings are also correct forms of the term without the word time. So if you throw time in there, it becomes singular. That has to be what it is. Time is a singular entity. So if you say daylight savings, that's correct. You throw the word time, it has to be singular saving. I know none of that makes sense, but that is what is grammatically correct.
I'll never make the mistake again, though, dude. From this point forward, I will refer to it as daylight saving time.
And just watch, everyone. Nothing will come of this. This has been debated forever, and we did this back in the 60s or 70s. We got rid of it, and everyone freaked out, so we went back to it. So, I don't know. I know Arizona does it and Hawaii, but it causes problems for them. And
we'll leave it up to the states.
I have one last quick story, if we can just squeeze it in.
Yeah, please.
Okay. Have you heard about the woolly mouse?
Yeah. No. No, I haven't. Okay. Not the woolly mouse.
My kids brought this up to me this week. The woolly mouse. And I told them immediately fact check that because that sounds crazy. My kids told me that scientists have altered the DNA of mice to genetically mirror that of the woolly mammoth to create a woolly mouse. And I was like, that is garbage. Go fact check that. Turns out it's completely real.
What do you mean? We got little mice running around that look like a woolly mammoth?
Basically. Scientists have altered the DNA of lab mice to mimic the genetic makeup of the woolly mammoth elephant to create a woolly mouse. Colossal Biosciences is a private Dallas company and is beginning the efforts to resurrect the mammoth and other extinct animals. Where have we seen this plot before?
That's what I was going to say. Isn't this the theme of Jurassic Park?
Yes, that is exactly what it is. And this just brings me to, like, do scientists not watch movies? Artificial intelligence, we're resurrecting extinct animals. Like, this never ends well in the movie. And
no.
The company's goal, they've genetically altered this mouse. And yeah, it's a bigger mouse. It's got long, fluffy hair. It's got bigger teeth. And they did it by mimicking genetic markers of the woolly mammoth. But their end goal, the company plans to recreate the actual mammoth as in addition to the dodo bird, the Tasmanian tiger, and other extinct animals.
That's a tough one. I love the dodo bird, okay? Because I'd like the dodo bird. I would love to see the dodo bird come back. I mean, that'd be a huge hit. But did it die out for a certain reason? I mean, are we messing with the way this whole ecosystem works and everything else?
This is literally the plot of Jurassic World. That if a creature has gone extinct from natural, you know, occurrences, we should probably let them be extinct. But if an asteroid hit the Earth and we now recreate these things, they can become the top of the food chain. Or they can kill other species below them that they were never supposed to be competing against.
Yeah.
But it doesn't end well. Why do we need a woolly mammoth roaming around? This company says that having a mammoth-like creature lumbering through the Arctic would compress the snow and grass that insulates the ground, slowing the rate of, you know, the ice caps melting. So that's why they say they want
Bullshit, dude. Stamp
down the snow.
Dude, you know what? This company heard about the government making transgender mice and thought, well, we can one-up that, dude.
Right. It is a similar topic. They're altering DNA, which is what actually Trump was talking about. Transgenic mice. Not trans-
that's right.
But yeah, there you go. Scientists have not seen any movies, and we're just recreating Terminator and Jurassic Park. And
that's kind of scary, dude. Well, we'll see what happens. I'm going to go look them up. I need to see what they look like, so...
Yeah,
so pretty awesome. All right, well, thanks for joining the podcast, The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. See our socials.
Let's see, what do we got? We got YouTube, TikTok, Reddit. We're on Blue Sky, Facebook, Threads, I think. You know, if it's social, we're on there in a leisure suit, baby.
Please go check them out and call our comment line, 844-48-VOCAL. Thank you for joining the podcast.
Hi, everybody. It's Leon Musk. This wraps up another podcast of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, like a boner in a rubber, which I obviously never wear because I be trying to get bitches pregnant. Don't forget to be a champion and help spread this podcast like my seed. Until next time, Doge out.